What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Drinks with Drea. I'm your host, Miss Drea, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. So, guys, it's been so long since I hopped on this podcast. It's not that I have not been podcasting, but I haven't podcasted here. I started a new podcast with my god sister slash second cousin, Leah, and that is on YouTube under Life on the Rocks with Drea and Leah. So if you have time, you got to go to work, you need something to just blow the time, go ahead and check us out. And also, I've been doing some Drinks with Drea also on my YouTube. I haven't gotten to that point yet where I'm able to record for both YouTube and for Spotify. So, or not Spotify, whatever this is, Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening. So I'm trying to figure that out. I'm lying. I ain't trying to figure that out. Eventually, when you know, I gain more traction and things get a little bit more serious, then I'll obviously get the right people in place to do this the right way. But since it's just me and my little handful of listeners, we just gonna keep it ghetto. But if you want to see me, you want to be a part of other things that I'm doing, you can go on YouTube under Drinks with Drea or Life on the Rocks with Drea and Leah. The podcast with me and my cousin, we're literally talking about everything. And that last episode that won't be posted until next Friday, which is like December something, I got a little emotional, so you might want to check that out. But anyway, we're going to jump right into our topic. And by the way, I'm over here making myself a U-part wig. I don't know why I felt the need to share that with y'all, but I'm just sitting here. My daughter's upstairs with her big sister. I hear her crying. I'm literally ignoring her right now because, baby, I've been trying to put this wig together all day, and I'm not about to let her disrupt me. So she'll be all right. She's a little under weather, but we all under weather. She'll be all right. Anyway, so if you hear baby crying in the background, that's my baby. She's all right. She's okay. She just wants her mama right now, but mama got other things to do. Anyway, she's in good hands. So let's get into the topic for today. And I want to talk about T.I. and his son, King. Now, if you're not familiar with T.I. and his family, T.I., obviously the rapper, the actor, he has been around for at least 2.5, maybe 3 decades now. He is the person who is in the rap industry. He's not a saint, obviously. He has a felony record. He has been linked to beefs and all type of gun and drug charges. So we're not talking about a saint. We're talking about a rapper. You'll understand why I'm saying that later in the show. But anyway, but over the years, he has grown and matured, and, you know, he's known for using these elaborate words. Most known for him is the word expeditiously. And so this has become part of his identity, but he also has kind of turned a new leaf. So instead of him just being known as a trap rapper slash former criminal slash former street dude, he has become a family man. And he had a show on VH1 called T.I. Family Hustle. T.I. and Tiny Family Hustle. And so on that show, we got a chance to meet their beautiful children, Zionique, who we know from OMG Girls, his two sons by his ex-girlfriend, Messiah and Domani. He also had a young daughter by another young lady named Deja, and then his children that he has with Tiny, which is King, Major, and now baby Harris. So beautiful family, all talented children. Literally every last one of his children are musically inclined. And so this is a beautiful thing. You got Tiny from Escape. You got Tip from the streets, you know, most notably for creating trap music. And they're building a life together. But again, these are not perfect people. So out of their clan of children, King is the young man who has been getting a lot of negative press. And the reason for this negative press is because, you know, he tends to take on more of a hood persona. Now, again, he has an older sister. He has older brothers. He has younger brothers, a younger brother and a younger sister. None of his siblings act as if they come from the hood, right? They act like children who are, you know, born of parents that have the means. And so for him to be the only child who acts as if he has this street background, he's not well received from the public. A lot of people try him and test him and try to see if he's about what he talks about. He's gone viral for cursing people out and talking about how he this street dude and how he'll do street stuff. And so a lot of people are looking like, bro, you have, yes, a dad who was in the streets, but this man is long removed from the streets. He worked his butt off to make sure that you and your siblings and his and your mom have a better life. So how are you taking on this street hood, I've been through the trenches persona, right? And rightfully so. And so he recently was on Funny Marco show called Open Thoughts. And he spoke about, now I did not watch, I just want to preface this part with saying I did not watch the entire interview. I only saw some of the clips. And the clips that I saw and part of the discussions that I was privy to on social media spoke about the fact that he said that, you know, the show, people are mistaken with the show. You think I was living there. I wasn't living there. After I, you know, was done recording, I went back to my grandma's house. And in my grandma's house, my grandma, I was in the street. I, you know, he speaks to his grandma not living in the best community. So he's adamant in sharing that he is a person that has hood experiences, right? And when he talks about the home, the gated community that his parents lived in, he felt as though it was nothing there. He had nothing. There was no fun there. There were no kids there. There were no fun experiences. So he preferred to go to his grandma's house where he could hang out with his cousins, be more in the street, have more of a normal lifestyle versus being in a mansion that was barely occupied. Because as you can imagine, T.I. and Tiny, obviously, if they're building wealth, they're not going to be home much like any other parent who's trying to put food on the table and ensure a roof over their children's head. And so they're no exception. They had a village within the house. I believe T.I.'s mom and his sister Precious, who got has gone on to be with the Lord, God rest her soul, they were in the house as well. So it wasn't a case of T.I. and Tiny aren't there and there's no structure, no guidance. They had family structure, village structure in the home. But according to his parents, King begged and cried and said, I want to go to my grandma's house, which is normal. That's their maternal grandma. Most people tend to have a closeness to their maternal grandmother. I know that I did. I know that my children do. So it makes sense. If your mom's mom is an extension of motherhood. And so if you're not getting what you want to get from your mom, sometimes the mom's mom is the best option. And so it's not something that, as a human being who has human experiences, that I'm shocked by, right? Like, it's just a normal thing. People, I know even for myself, when I was like 8, 9, 10, I lived with my grandma. Even though my mom and grandma lived across the hall from each other, I preferred to be over there with my grandma as opposed to in the house with my mom, dad, and my brother. So it's not this rare thing. It's not as unique as people are trying to make it seem. So anyway, I'm going on and on. Recently, he was at a game, the Falcons game, I believe, in Atlanta with his parents. And he was on live talking about whatever. And I guess in the background, people, from what I heard, someone called him the suburban legend. If you know, T.I. has an album called The Urban Legend. They said, well, you must be the suburban legend. So people kind of poke fun at him. Like, you try to play this hood role, but really you're not like that. You haven't been through nothing. And he's very adamant about, yes, I have. I come from the trenches. I come from the streets. People have tested me and da 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 da. We've seen videos of him in the past where some kids at school were testing him and he held his own. Like, you know, but those were things that he chose, right? He wanted to be in the trenches, quote unquote. He wanted to be able to live a normal life because he didn't get the idea of living in a gated community, not having kids to play with, not having any fun childhood experiences. And so he wanted to be with his grandma as opposed to in the gated community with his other family. And his mom just let it be known, like, hey, you wanted, like, you would literally be crying, begging to go to your grandma's house. Don't make it as if you didn't have a place in the house or we didn't want you there. And it turned into, of course, now because it's on a Instagram Live, now everybody is weighing in. Everybody has an opinion. And, you know, you have people split saying, bro, at the end of the day, you still have privilege. Even if you lived at your grandma's house, I guarantee you your mom and dad made sure you had everything that you wanted and needed. There's no reality where you at grandma's house, you don't have the flyest clothes, you don't have the flyest shoes, you don't have privilege and access, because you're not truly, you may be living at a hood address, but you're not having a true hood experience. You've never gone hungry. You're probably not living with roaches, mice. You're not experiencing this quote-unquote hood life in a way somebody who doesn't have wealthy parents would experience it, right? So to even try to negate and say, no, I come from the street, you don't. You come from a modified street experience, right? So, but that bothers him. And so I was curious of why is that such a big deal? But I thought about a few things. Number one, you're a rapper. Part of being a rapper is about this rags to riches, this I was from the trenches, like this tough background. I remember there was a rapper not too long ago whose mom exposed him. And I know even Blueface mom is like, bro, you did not have a rough life to the point that you feel like you have gone through so much. But it's like this thing with rappers, you have to validate the struggle. We don't have a reality where, well, we do. There are some rappers who don't lean on the struggle story, but it's like, that's the thing. I come from nothing and I made something, and people are really trying to sell this image. And so a lot of the parents are like, okay, I get it. We weren't in the best neighborhood, but you're not really like that. And I don't think these kids really understand, like, growing up myself, South Side of Chicago, early 90s, like, that was some street stuff, right? Seeing a person's brains leak out of their head in the middle of the street at 6 years old, witnessing people shooting in the middle of the street and seeing a body drop two blocks away. Like, there are real street experiences, and then you have this version in 2023 of kids that watch GTA and want to recreate the hood life, but y'all don't have it the way it was when it was really like that. Y'all are choosing at this point to live a hood, limited resources, lack of education lifestyle. Y'all have way more, even in the hoodest of hoods, you have way more opportunities than those that were 2-3 decades ahead. But hey, that's the streets. It's always been the streets. It'll always be the streets. Nonetheless, everybody's talking about this. And so I wanted to just give my two cents. Bro, it's been 13 minutes and I really sat here and over-explained that. But nonetheless, I heard a song today with King and his big brother Domani. Now, Domani is nice. He's nice on the mic. I'm not too fond of King's rap style. It's a little too, I don't know, maybe I'm too old to digest that. But I love Domani style. Domani puts you in the mindset of a J. Cole. He's very lyrical. He's very woke. He's very conscientious of the things that he speaks. He's not trying to portray some hood image. He's literally just speaking to life of his own experiences. But he's not overselling street mentality, street, you know. And I appreciate that in rappers. But they had a song called Father Like Sons. And they talk about how much they may try to pull away from their father's legacy, but at the end of the day, they are their father's son. And it's really homage and respect to their dad. And it was something in that song that made me realize what this is really all about. And it's not about, because he never positioned it to try to, you know, belittle or talk down on his parents. Even though the general public took it that way, I don't think that this is what that was. This is not a cry for help. He doesn't hate his parents. He doesn't feel like he missed out on anything. He chose to be away from that lifestyle, because at the end of the day, his parents weren't there. And he was being raised by his aunt and grandma, and he didn't have that fun hangout experience. So he just wanted his own experience. He wanted to feel like a normal kid. That was a choice that his parents allowed. And that's what it was. He's not mad at his parents. He doesn't hold resentment towards his parents. I think from the song, it feels more like as young men, and this is true for both King, this is what I feel for both King and Omani. You have a father who has huge shoes to fill. He has a legit, credible street story. And he worked his way from that reality to a new reality of multimillionaire. Now to the point where he has built something for the community that's needed, which is low-income housing. Huge shoes to fill. And so I feel like everything that King is trying to do, even with Domani choosing to move out the house on his own at a young age. So I remember when that was a thing, but nobody really made a big fuss about it because he was very articulate about why he wanted to leave the house. And it's like when you have a dad, a real father, who you see creating a new life for their family. You can't, if you are raised right, and this is just my opinion, you can't ever look your dad in the eye if you're not able to, even on the slightest level, live up to his legacy. And so the fact that these young men respect and love their dad enough to create this song, to try not to use his story and his legacy for their benefit, it shows that T.I. is actually a good guy and a good father. Because these are not young men who hate him and resent him. These are young men who want to make him proud. These are young men who want to be able to look their father in the eye as a man and say, "Dad, I did it. You showed me what to do and I did it." And I don't think everything is for social media, because right now everybody just want to find an opportunity to belittle and tear others down. That's all social media is now. Social media used to be a way for people to connect and to meet people that they would probably never meet in any other scenario, but that's not what social media is now. Social media is people's way to validate their own shortcomings. Like, "Oh, look, they're a bad person too. They don't have nothing either." And it's like people are rooting and waiting for downfalls. So you can't rely on social media in today's climate, because people are low-key depressed, miserable. And it's just not a good gauge of the precedent that you want to set for yourself. You want to set the precedent for yourself of being blessed and abundant and joy and prosperity, and not knocking other people down to build yourself up. So social media is going to take this and make it whatever they want. But I really encourage people to go listen to that song. I believe it's on Complex. It's called Father Like Sons. Listen to the lyrics. Listen to what they talk about. Look at the videos between T.I. and his sons. I don't think this is my dad is a terrible and I'm exposing the truth about my family type of situation, even though he had that whole moment at the game where he said, "I know you, I know you," in which T.I. responded, "Ain't no mystery in my history." And as a legit T.I. fan, I don't know what he could be alluding to. I never looked at T.I. as a perfect person. In reality, he's a street dude. In reality, he cheated on his wife. In reality, she got her lick back. In reality, they as a couple have invited people into their bed. This is not couple goals. These are not perfect people. I don't think anybody who's grown up with a parent that worked to keep a roof over their head would ever blame them for not being at home. You're a multimillionaire. The only way you can be T.I. and Tiny that you are today, that's building low-income houses, is if you had to make sacrifices early in your career to be able to create that life for your children. Who can blame them for that? So it's just interesting, but that's just my two cents on the matter. I don't think that this family, like, I think it's playing out because it's in public, and anytime it's a spotlight, people tend to act more out of character than normal. But I really don't see this as like this big, "Oh, T.I. isn't who he said he is. This is a terrible," like, I just think that this is a young man trying to prove and show to his dad that I'm better than you. He literally talked about that. Like, "When my dad releases his last album, I'm coming out like I'm the new king." This is what fatherhood is when you have sons. Your sons want to be better than you, but at the same time, they want to prove themselves worthy to stand toe-to-toe, man-to-man with you. I feel like T.I. did a wonderful job with these boys. Even the criticism he gets around Deja. I understand it. People are like, wow, why are you so worried about her uterus and blah, blah, blah. But I can understand that from the perspective of sometimes girls hold secrets that they shouldn't have to hold because of the lies that people tell them. So that might be his way of saying, in case somebody's doing anything to my daughter, I'm going to make sure for myself that she's untouched. People took that as he's trying to control her. I took it as he's trying to protect her, but that's a whole nother subject. But hey, I am a fan, so I'm always looking at the positive when it comes to people that I actually like. But nonetheless, that's my two cents. Let me know what you guys think. Do you feel that, you know, T.I. and Tiny are horrible parents? Do you feel like they're hiding their truth? Do you feel like King is being a spoiled brat? Do you think that this is just his validation? Like, what do you guys think about this situation? But at the end of the day, I think it's all love. They family at the end of the day. I know for myself personally, my best relationship with my mom came as a grown-up. As a teenager, as a child, you have your perspective, you have your perception. But when you become an adult and they're adults, you get to really get to know them on a human level. And you find out that your parents are actually dope. At least mine is. So they'll be all right. They're already all right. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. Again, you can check me out on YouTube, Drinks with Drea Podcast, or Life on the Rocks with Drea and Leah. I don't know when the next time I'll be on here, but I thank you guys so much for listening. I apologize for the last episode because I just played it back. I had no background music or nothing. You just hear me talking with all my background. So I'm going to make sure that I'm putting some background music this time because I was like, girl, I can't believe you really posted this. I must have been a little too tipsy. And I didn't even tell y'all what I'm drinking. Ooh. So it's Drinks with Drea. You know, I got to tell y'all what I'm drinking. And it is Milagro Tequila. The Reposado. Now listen, I did an interview that I'm going to be posting for my other podcast called Black Girl Billionaire, which I'm still working on because I don't know if I'm serious enough to be talking about entrepreneurship stuff in public, but we'll see. But anyway, I did this interview with this, her name is Sarita, and she has a brand of tequila called Monita Tequila, which is named after her late mom. And she was speaking about the importance of when drinking tequila to have that it's 100% agave. And I never thought about this before. I just drank the most popular tequila, the tequila that I wanted. I drink a lot of Don Julio, Clase Azul, that type of stuff. So it's like, oh, you know, Don Julio. So it's like, you know, you just drink your tequila. I never thought about whether it had agave or not. And understanding that tequila derives from the agave plant. Jalisco, Mexico, and so on and so forth. And so when I looked at Milagro, I noticed it's 100% agave. So I said, let me go ahead and try this. Even though I wasn't able to support her brand, but if you're in certain areas, you can support it. I believe it's MonitaTequila.com. Interview coming soon. Black Girl Billionaire. Make sure you like, comment, and follow, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I tried it. And I'm like, oh my God, she's right. It's much smoother. It has its own unique flavors. And it gets you into your buzz in not an aggressive way. Because I guess people end up kind of adding, you know, putting additives to produce tequila faster and at a higher volume. But agave, I think, takes about 7 to 8 years to mature. And so companies that are 100% agave tend to take a longer time with producing tequilas. But it's a much... It's a better taste and it's a better quality of tequila. And even though Milagro is, what, $20 for Reposado, $30 for Añejo, I'm telling y'all, it's good. And you know, anybody who know me for real, know I drink. And this is good. So that's what I'm sipping on tonight. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. And I'm going to talk to you guys soon. Bye.